Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
You like being spread thin. All right, let's go into it. Ari's got to sleep.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our confidence.
Hey.
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this
is
something that we like to call
Time Pop.
Time
Pop.
Pop.
Time Pop.
We got something. This is kind of special. This is like, I mean, this is more action-packed. I mean, we've watched a six-minute time travel movie that was pretty good and had a lot of time travel crammed into it. This is twice as long and 10 times the time travel, or 10 times the...
Yeah, it's a really good example. Like, you can make a 12-minute time travel film that's so much more thought-provoking than a two-hour one, right?
Well, I'm going to just hit Ari right...
Oh, hey.
Right away. Ari, is this a time travel movie?
So that was my first question. So there is no actual traveling of time, right? There's no machine. There's no mention of it. There's no nothing. At best, this is just a looping film. They do not explain to you what is going on in any way, shape, or form. This person just shows up. They have a picture. They go through a series of events. They meet themselves a few times over, and then it ends. You don't know where they came from. You don't know where they're going to. But for me, I remember watching this a long time ago. When did this come out?
It came out. I thought I watched
2004.
Yeah. And I didn't catch it till like 2012.
Okay.
I thought I was on like the front line, but it was 10 years old by the time I saw it.
Yeah, okay. Because the car seems dated for sure.
Yeah, I guess I should have known. There's no touchscreen in the... Even in 2012, Volvo would add some kind of a touchscreen, most likely.
Yeah.
So what we're reviewing is called... This is called The Route V50. That is the name of this extended film version of a commercial.
Yeah. And it's super original. No one has done this before, you know, as a commercial. But I remember... seeing this years ago, I don't know when, 12 years ago, maybe more, and really loving to like just sit there and try to think about it and figure it out, right? This is before I knew you, Dez, you know, when I was first getting into loving time travel, even though this doesn't really say it ever that it's time travel, but it's fun to sit there and be like, okay, so the first guy was this and the second guy was that guy, and then this is the third guy, and you know, how did he get the keys and, you know, which water bottle, which backpack? And
in 2012, this was ahead of his time. In 2004,
yeah.
He needed a time machine just to get this idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way ahead of its time.
Whew. So this is, speaking of getting the idea, the director is the director of Dangerous Liaisons.
Naturally.
High Fidelity.
Oh, cool.
And a ton of other things, but those were the ones that really jumped out. Like, oh, this is a director. This isn't just some.
So this is before Iron Man.
It's 2009 Iron Man.
Well, when was the first Iron Man that came out?
I think it's 2009. Let's check it out.
Yeah. So this was, I mean, yeah, it hadn't even been introduced. They weren't even in pre-production yet.
Oh, no, 2008. So it's...
Okay. Because this is a time when Robert Downey Jr.'s career was still not great.
In the tank, yeah.
Yeah. And he was kind of building up his career. It's probably why he agreed to do this.
Yeah, no wonder some off-the-beaten-path European director...
And he has to act by himself, right? Simple. All you have is one deserted town, one actor,
mm-hmm.
various versions of it. So easy to shoot theoretically, but it's thought provoking. I've got my own theories on this one. And again, you know, this seems like it's supposed to be metaphorical. Like this is not really in existence. This might be inside of his mind. This might be on some astral plane type thing.
So everybody, the link, there is a link in our show notes. Click it. Watch this. It's 12 minutes. Well, you know what I realized too? I should have known this was way before then because I had a V70 in 2008. So I should have known that the V-50 would have been pre-2008, but
yeah,
I'm not that smart.
It's fun to watch it and then watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I watched it twice back to back and it was a different experience and you're just really paying attention to all the little things. Yes, I see Desmond made a graph.
Yeah, he made a graph, although the way Desmond wrote it, it's hard. It seems like Sanskrit to me and it's hard to.
Yeah, it's tough. Mostly I wanted to see like, well, I don't know. Well, one, it's a 12-minute movie. I always say I'm going to do this. And then 45 minutes, I'm just like, I can't. So I was like, okay, 12-minute movie. This is the time where I pull it off and I do my own time travel thing. Because I always think it's interesting that like in movies like this, when the first time he meets himself is actually the last time, like the later versions of himself are the first ones he runs into. And then the last two he runs into is when he's early on his journey.
Yeah.
And so
it's like half a film, right? And then the other half, you're going through the downslide of the other side of it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's exactly timed, you know, at the halfway mark. I would like to watch.
It's pretty close. It's really close.
Once he's in the bar with himself, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely 6 minutes something, whether it's on the tick or not, I don't know. But yeah, it's darn close.
And it was well done how they, you know, they filmed everything twice. And
yeah,
the guy that you follow, you know, that we get to follow
from his perspective,
you see him seeing it for the first time and then him doing it almost a little like, this is what I'm supposed to say. I heard I can catch a bus here. You know, he like knows like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to say. So he says it. And the acting changed a little bit in that sense. So that was really, really well acted, really well directed.
Yeah, it's a fun thing in these kind of time travel films that like, you're like, I'm never going to say or do that. And you follow the journey into why they would feel that way later on. It's a great way to spell out a movie for you. So I watched it again. I don't know. There's a few different theories to go in. I don't know if you want to get into that yet.
Sure.
Yeah, let's jump in. Let's just dig ourselves out.
There's one theory is that it's kind of a closed loop and that, I mean, he'd have to lose some memory and he becomes the guy at the beginning again. He takes a photo, he's shaking it out and he looks at it and he's just kind of this like he's starting over. Like this is just a loop that kind of is always going and he's accepted that.
Well, that would almost make sense because where does the first photograph come from?
Right. That's the whole issue. He takes the photo and then he's shaking it out. At the beginning, it's him kind of like, look, I don't know why, but I know I'm looking for this place. And he's looking at the photo. So it's this whole journey to kind of find himself. But that's his whole endless cycle.
If that's the case, then what happens to the second photo?
That's the interesting part. Because, right, Desmond's point that he was looking at one photo, he freaked out, went back, but then took it.
Because he...
Unless photos are building up in his pocket. Does he ever get rid of that photo? Does he ever drop it somewhere?
No.
What does he do with it before he takes the new photo?
I think it's in his shirt pocket. He keeps on putting it back in his shirt pocket. Or no. He takes it out. He's holding it. That's right. He's holding it.
Does he drop it when he takes it?
No.
Because he's timing.
He doesn't drop it.
He's timing the picture. But does it like become, does the old one like become the new one?
He takes a second picture. He lines it up according to the picture that he has. He sees the guy walk into place and he takes the second picture and it pop, you know, then it pulls out the Polaroid. I don't know, in this universe, if the original picture just disintegrates and yeah, then the amnesia starts, but...
That's kind of right. I mean, this is not a...
Yeah.
This is like a esoteric astral plane-y type film. I don't know if it's meant to be literal in the real world. It's a deserted town. Confidence is like, oh, the finding confidence, this whole, you know, metaphor. So it seemed like that. It could be, is it Triangle Des where like they go through a loop and then they come out the other side? Like you go in the loop, stuck in the loop and then go out. It could be that, but the fact that he takes the photo at the end is that's that whole paradox, right?
Yeah.
So there's two options if we want to, I mean, really, right? It's either what do you call that loop? If you go in from a single linear line into a loop, you're wrapped in the loop, but then you make your way out.
I guess just open loop.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm trying to think what movies we've seen that in. That was in Triangle, right?
Triangle.
You could say is that in what's the Adam, the Andy Samberg one? He makes his way out of the loop.
Palm Springs. Yeah, he makes his
Palm
way
Springs,
out of
that one.
He
does.
Yeah.
He makes his way out of it.
But that one I feel like is different because you're trapped until you do something.
Right. But his younger self is still going through that loop if you're looking at it that way. And then he's finally getting out. I don't know.
Right. But this one, like, I feel like if Robert Downey Jr. wanted to, he could have just walked away.
He doesn't, right?
Andy Sandberg could not have just walked away.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he does at the end, but yeah.
No, he has to do the whole cave thing.
Yeah, but then he gets out.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I think in theory, Robert Downey Jr. could have just walked away from this. You know, that would have, you know, if everything that's happened has happened, will always happen, that throws the world into chaos. But he in theory, wasn't trapped in this world until he found confidence. It just made him feel like he closed the loop. Okay, here's... Sorry, I'm going to jump ship here real quick. The keys, I think there's a problem with the keys.
I was wondering about that. I didn't analyze it.
Yeah, I had a question about the keys as well.
All right. So if you, he starts it off.
Okay, first of all, actually, let me back up a little bit. Do we believe there's only one Volvo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so there's one car. So there definitely is. Okay, because for a minute I was like, well, maybe there's two cars and they just keep missing each other in this loop. So, okay, so if there's one car, then there's one set of keys. Explain it to me, Scott.
Well, let's see if we can go through this. Ooh, look, Ari's in the shadows. All right. So it starts off. He sees the car coming. He goes up, he puts it in park, and then guy at the end throws him the keys, right?
Yes.
All right. He drives the car. He picks up, he almost hits crazy version of himself.
Yes.
Crazy version gets in. He wants to drive. They pull up to the bar. Crazy guy runs off. Not with the keys though, right? Leaves the keys.
I mean, that's the guy who throws the keys to Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, yeah, he must have it. Crazy guy runs off. Robert Downey Jr. goes in the bar. He meets the dejected version of himself that's given up, but he asks for a ride. Our Robert Downey Jr. one that we're following gives crazy guy a ride. This is when he's given up and he goes to the bus stop. Our Robert Downey Jr. drops him off. He's glad to be rid of him. He goes back. He's frustrated, right, that his bag was taken?
Yes.
And then he goes back to the bar.
Oh, this is when the car rolls off.
Yeah. Does he leave the key in the car at that point?
He can't, because this is right before someone throws him the keys, because the car rolls off.
All right.
So I took it as the guy that almost got hit by the car.
Yeah.
Right. And he pushed him over and he's driving. And when they got to where they were, the guy gets out with the keys.
No, because he goes into the bar and then he meets the dejected version of himself, and the dejected version asks for a ride, and then he drives him.
Right.
Our hero, our number one, drives him. So he's got the keys.
The guy that almost gets hit by the car is the guy that realizes that he has to go back to the sign, that he was there the whole time. He's the one who's driving.
Yes.
He's the one who then gets out of the car.
We see him first in the beginning.
With the keys, runs over to take the picture and like understands. But he's also the one that doesn't.
But then how do the two that leave the bar, where's their car?
Don't we see a car rolling at another point? Are there two points that the car is left rolling?
No, it's just one.
You're just seeing that one happen again?
Yeah. Are you watching again right now, Des?
No, I'm looking at my notes.
Your notes are hard to read. Wait. So let's say he does have the keys in the bar. He drops off the guy at the bus stop. He drives back to town. Now he's the dejected one.
As he's driving back to town.
But he asks for, oh.
The guy who jumps out in front of his car, who almost got hit.
He has the key.
He's the one who pushes him over and says, I'll explain later. And he's like, I had to look really close and I saw myself. He's the one driving. He's the one who takes the keys with him while he goes to take the new picture at the sign, and the car goes into.
So is it possible the dejected version of him has the keys, even though he asks for the ride?
I don't know what you mean by the dejected one. Which one is the.
I hear what you're saying. If the crazy one runs off, the crazy one runs off, then to realize and take the photo and have the keys.
He has the keys. He puts his jacket back on. He sees the guy walk up, takes the picture, and that's when the car rolled up.
Okay. So when they're in the bar, I think someone grabs the car.
No, because he says, can I get a ride?
Right. But I think it comes back before they leave the bar. Is that what happens?
I thought I rolled a second time.
No, it's only once.
We gotta watch this.
Okay, so he's coming back to the. Okay, they're parked in front of the bar. Guy grabs the backpack without the water bottle.
We could do a live commentary on this one. It would only be 12
and
minutes.
And he must grab the keys because he's about ready to take the picture and throw the keys to whoever the new one. So now he goes in the bar.
Is there another way that the crazy one that runs off could have gotten the keys from somewhere else?
No, he must have just taken the keys with him and they didn't put the car in park. I'm watching it right now.
But then how did the guys at the bar drive the car?
That's before.
Yeah, but right before he gets in the bar, the crazy one runs off.
Yeah. And then there's another one. Oh, who's...
So if you're saying he picked...
So he goes... So the guy in the bar is the one who's frustrated because, yeah, I forget. He's
just getting frustrated. He got his, like, water taken. He's just tired of this process.
Yeah. And then that's when the car rolls.
At the end, is it possible he saw the keys and picked them up or no?
I mean...
After he ran, when he takes the photo, is it possible he picked it up somewhere? Or that it was... He doesn't get to the car before the other version.
Oh, there's the time where he tries to look for water and the guy took his water. And so he goes into that store by himself.
Yes.
That's when he didn't put the car in park.
Right.
But wouldn't he have had the keys? There might be a hole here with the keys. So I'm watching it now. And he has the keys because he just went into the store to look for water and everything is like empty. And now the car is rolling and he's like, I can't find water. And he comes out, the car's not there. And he looks over and someone had just gotten in the car and driven off.
And then that's when he throws his jacket and goes in the bar.
And that's when he throws the jacket.
And then he goes in the bar.
And then goes into the bar.
And then...
And waits for the guy to come back. But so there's a problem there. So he how did the other guy get the keys? Because he would have had the keys.
Was it in the jacket?
No, because he had the jacket. So there's a hole. We have found the hole, gentlemen.
I mean, you could say you could say once he gets confidence, he finds the key. Like once he has that self-awareness, he gets the key.
Yeah, no, there's a hole. They.
And it starts it.
Yeah.
Because he gets the key when he figures out the key. Like, again, this is not meant to be literal. You could, so that.
Right. But it's so good otherwise. Like,
yeah, it's perfect otherwise, except for the key issue.
Because the backpack is perfect. The jacket is perfect. Like, I love how they make sure, like, one of them's always got the jacket on. One of them always has his jacket off. One of them always has his shirt unbuttoned.
Yeah.
So that's how you kind of split everyone up. So yeah, he's going in there, can't find water, car's rolling. See, I think now, yeah, because when the car's rolling, no. Okay. I'll figure this out. I'll put it in our notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean they messed up. There and also it's like usually you can't put the car, you can't take the key out of the ignition unless the car is in park.
Correct.
Maybe it's a feature.
Maybe it's not a good feature. Maybe it's
don't forget your keys.
It's a feature that was introduced in 2005.
Yeah, it's 2004, man. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. People were just taking keys out of the cars while they were driving down the freeway.
Hey, here's the feature. You get this car and you forget to put it in park. It's just going to roll down the street even without your keys.
But don't worry about it because Robert Downey Jr. will show up and throw you a new set because we've got...
Magically.
We've got sets of keys. Oh, that... all V50s have the same key.
Yeah, so there's two sets of keys. So they did mess up in that regard.
There could be an argument that, you know, if it is a loop, like I'm saying, and he's got multiple sets of photos now in his pocket, maybe he also could have multiple keys.
Yeah, like a spare key.
I want us to record a new version of this where Robert Downey Jr. is just lousy with Polaroid pictures and his jacket just, he's just running and you just hear nothing but jingling in his pockets because he's carrying 18.
There's so many keys. There's like 14 photos in his pocket.
Because does he have his backpack when he must have his backpack when he takes, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does. Like, where the fuck does the Polaroid camera? Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I love being able to do a complex film with one person.
Yeah.
A complex film. That's a kind of project we had tried.
In one location.
Yeah. One location. It's, and it's also this idea of when you do these films, how the viewer views time differently than it's kind of, if the time travel is part of your experience exploring it, you know, it doesn't make sense. And then you follow that journey. Yeah. And it unravels like that. It's a unique way of time travel where the viewer, yeah, is kind of the time traveler. Yeah.
This was the it might have been our first day. If not, it was definitely our first week of college. And we were just kind of hanging out. One of the first things we had to do was make a movie. We had to get in groups and make a movie. And to get to know our groups, the teacher had us all play a short video that best introduced us to our group. And this is what I played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is who you're dealing with movie. So, yeah. And I found this is probably when I really got into it, because I enjoyed time travel movies anyways, but I was working as a temp at Grace Note. And Grace Note is the company, like when you turn your radio on in your car and it tells you like, oh, this is Avril Lavigne, and this is the song, and this is the album it's from.
Right, the data.
Metadata, sorry, yeah. We were doing something a little bit different, but that's what Grace Note does. And so we were, you know, just temps sitting around working on spreadsheets, and then me and this guy would just search weird. We started searching weird time travel shit, and that's when I was like, I fucking love this. And
wow.
Yeah, the idea of time pop was born.
And only 12 minutes. 12 minutes. And it's, you know, obviously we got this one loophole, but it, you know, I'll bet there's ways the director could explain it. I'm going to try to watch this again under a microscope, but you could say that he found the key and the confidence, or you could say that there's multiple copies but I don't know.
Yeah.
This, you know, this film is definitely left open to interpretation. We don't know if he's going to repeat this loop, or if he just, like they said, they make metaphorical comments, like he's looking for confidence and I see myself, and like something of like looking for something that's not there, and then just ultimately understanding it, accepting it, and moving on.
If you found yourself in this situation, Scott, would you go with the flow, or would you run over and grab yourself and go, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I mean, the idea is you know, it's like you understand the universe and like you can't fight the flow. You'll just be frustrated. Once you accept the way it goes, you get oneness.
You would just sit next to yourself and just be like, well, this is weird.
I don't like the idea that my existence is this 12-minute loop and that is what my purpose is. And I'm just going to be going through this 12-minute loop for all eternity. That's a different story. But
they should do another movie, which is a prequel and a sequel to what happens on either end. How did he get the original picture, and what happens at the end once he takes the second picture? They should do another movie.
He took it. He took the photo at the end.
I know, but what happens after he's taken two photos?
Yeah.
Where does he go? What happens? How does the first guy?
That's the other loop too. If there weren't two photos, you could just say this causes that loop. Like where he was at the end is where he began. And maybe it disintegrates. Maybe that's just part of starting it all over.
Yeah, I like the idea of him, because it would have to be an even farther future version of himself that would plant the picture and just be like, I need my past self to find confidence so that our future can be better. So I'm going to go plant this photo.
Isn't the beginning vague? Isn't the beginning like, I can't remember more than wanting to see the confidence. I was obsessed with this town. He's like, he says something like, I don't remember much. There's something vague, right? As long as I can remember, I've wanted to find this town. There's just something.
I wanted to find confidence. He never expresses it as a town.
Right. I want to find, he just comes into it like it's out of a dream.
Yeah.
And without much of a background. So.
And it,
I think it's a loop.
And everybody out there who isn't watching this, the picture that he takes, the reason why he can't find it is because it's of a billboard. So he can't figure out where this place is because it's not a place. It's most of the Polaroid is a picture of a billboard. And so when he finally realizes that he can't find this church or whatever's on the billboard, he finds the billboard that says welcome.
So maybe he does make it out of the loop. Maybe that's the whole point. He's kind of searching, and then finally like he figures it out, he makes it out, and he's like, oh, now I see more clearly what I was searching for, and now I found it, and that's just that.
Yeah, once he finds confidence, he's free. He's free to go.
He's free out of that loop, that constant searching, and the, yeah.
Absolutely.
But you get this feeling he's not going anywhere.
Oh, he's going to go do Iron Man. He has all the confidence in the world.
He's going to do lots of drugs, then get out of it, then do Iron Man.
Oh, no, this is him. This is his first week of sobriety. This is him.
Yeah.
Just being like, hey, Stephen Frears, I need something to do so I can not be doing coke.
I need a paycheck of any kind.
Totally. Well, you know what drugs is like? Drugs is like being stuck in an endless loop. Hey, Scott, you know what?
Yeah.
I do cocaine so I can work longer hours, so I can make more money, so I can buy more cocaine, so I can do more cocaine.
That's the loop.
So I can work longer hours. Welcome to confidence. All right. Well, this is, I would, like I said, if we had endless time, I think we would add a commentary onto the end of this just to watch it go, okay, there's the keys. No, there's the keys. No, there's the keys.
But it's great. If someone's like, I'm into your time travel stuff. I don't have a lot of time in my life. No pun intended. You can say, hey, watch 1 minute time machine, watch Route V50.
Absolutely.
Get your kicks.
Stop listening to this dumb show and go watch V50 starring Robert Downey Jr. You'll be very happy that you did.
Find your confidence and tell us what happened with those freaking keys.
please. TimePopPod@gmail.com. What happened to Robert Downey Jr.'s keys? And where did that Polaroid come from?
I thought you were saying, please email what happened to Robert Downey Jr.'s keys @gmail.com.
Everybody, check your couch cushions. Find Robert Downey Jr.'s keys right now.
Can we start that email account? That can't be taken.
Find Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
That'd be so great. I would look that up now and be like, no, you got to do what? Find Robert Downey Jr.'s keys 38 at Gmail.
Hey, everybody, start the hashtag find Robert Downey Jr.'s keys.
Yeah, we'll get him on the show.
Hashtag find Robert Downey Jr.'s keys. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel commercial podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And check us out on our Patreon at patreon.com/timepop. Okay, everybody, we just had a little sidebar here. Please check out patreon.com/timepop. We are going to do something over there. We're still kind of working out the details of what we want to do, but we do want to do some exclusive Time Pop discussions for you over there. We have and will continue to produce great time travel content for free, but if you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciative. We are asking for $3 a month, and to show our appreciation, you'll receive an exclusive podcast every month. We're working on what we want that exclusivity to be, whether we want to do commentaries, whether we want to do a show, whether we want to turn it into our Twilight Zone cast. You know what? Why don't you sign up for Patreon? And since we work for you, you tell us what to do. We're your employees. We'll talk about whatever dumb show. We'll do a Golden Girls cast. I don't care.
I would love a time travel Golden Girls episode. Would be pretty epic.
Oh, maybe that's what we'll do. We'll make an episode. Yes. We'll write classic sitcom time travel episodes.
You'd probably be Blanche.
If you like the show and would like to support us for free, we just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are @TimePopPod. That is @time_pop_pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. Along with those movie recommendations, if you've noticed, we're doing a few more shows, and we like doing shows. The only problem is sometimes it's tough to remember what is a good episode. So if you guys are watching time travel shows out there and you're like, this is the episode that really explains their time travel well and would be a really fun discussion, please send those also our way. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott.
And that was Ariel Galah.
There she was.
Bye.
So there's three of us. And counting.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Whatever happens, don't turn back.